Welcome to the Daily Zen Tae Show, a reading of the Daily Zen Journal, which is derived from talks given to students and writings of the ancient masters. Each Tae Show will feature text from a selected volume, followed by commentary. The Tae Show is selected and interpreted by Ilana, scribe for Daily Zen. The title of this Tae Show is Handbook for Zen Students, Part 2, from Thousand Peaks Korean Zen, Tradition and Teachers, by Musung Sunim. From the preface. Although I am not worthy of the task, I am intent on the study of the ancient teachings and consider the sacred writings of the sutras to be a great treasure. But these writings are nonetheless numerous as leaves in thick foliage, and the sea of the Tripitaka is vaster than the ocean. It seemed that later on others of the same intention would surely not be able to avoid the labor of picking through the leaves one by one. So from among the writings, I selected several hundred maxims, which are the most important and to the point, and wrote them down in one place. The result can well be called concise, yet complete in meaning. If one were to take these maxims as one's stern teacher, study thoroughly, and attain their true meaning, then there in each sentence would be a living Buddha. Do your best. But as for a single statement which would go beyond words, an extraordinary treasure, it is not that I would not use it. It is just that I would rather reserve it for a special opportunity. 7. I have one word. Cutting off thinking and forgetting karmic connections, sitting motionless with no occupations. When spring comes, the grass turns green by itself. Comment. Cutting off thinking and forgetting karmic connections is attaining it in the mind. This is what is called the person of the way at ease. Ah, this is what kind of person he or she is. From the beginning, without karmic connections or things to occupy, when hunger comes, she eats, and when tiredness comes, she sleeps. Among the blue streams and green-covered mountains, he wanders as he pleases. In the fishing villages and wine shops, she is at ease with no hindrances. Though he is completely unaware of the calendrical succession of years and months, when spring comes, the grass turns green by itself, as it always has. This section sets apart those who wish to reflect inwards with concentrated thought. One thought. 8. The doctrinal paths only transmit the Dharma of one mind, and the Zen path only transmits the Dharma of seeing nature. Comment. Mind is like the substance of a mirror. Nature is like the mirror's light. Nature is naturally pure and clear. In an instant of cutting through and realizing it, one returns to and attains original mind. This section shows the hidden importance of the one thought in which realization is attained. There are two kinds of mind. The first is original source mind. The second is the mind which ignorantly clings to forms. There are two kinds of nature. The first is original Dharma nature. The second is nature in which nature and form are in opposition. Therefore, among Zen and doctrine followers alike, there are those who are deluded. They hold on to names and think up explanations. At times, they take what is shallow to be deep. At other times, they take what is deep to be shallow. They make insight and practice into a great illness. Therefore, here, the distinction is made clear. 9. When the Buddhas expounded the sutras, they first distinguished the various principles of Dharma, and only later expounded ultimate emptiness. When the patriarchs make a statement, however, no traces remain in the intellectual realm, and truth appears from the mind's source. Comment. Since the Buddhas are the ones to be depended on throughout the ages, it is necessary for them to explain truth in detail. Since the patriarchs save and liberate others in their own time, their objective is to cause profound realization. Traces refers to the traces of the patriarch's word. Intellect refers to the intellectual realm of the student. 10. The way the Buddha expounded was like a bow. The way the patriarchs expound is like a bowstring. Even when the Buddha expounded unobstructed Dharma, it just barely returned to the one flavor. If one brushes away the traces of this one flavor, only then does the one mind, which the patriarchs show, appear. Therefore, the student should first, in accordance with the true words of the doctrine, clearly discern that the two principles of immutability and changing with conditions are respectively the intrinsic nature and manifested form of one's own mind, and that the two paths of sudden enlightenment and gradual cultivation are the beginning and the end of one's own practice. Only then should the student put aside doctrinal principles and only get hold of the one thought that is appearing before one's own mind, carefully study the purport of Zen. Then surely one will have what is there to be attained. This is called the way to get out, the road to life. Comment. This restriction does not apply to those who have a superior capacity and great wisdom. But those of average or less than average capacities may not skip over any steps of understanding doctrine. The doctrinal principles of immutability and changing with conditions, and sudden enlightenment and gradual cultivation contain the distinction of before and after. But in Zen Dharma, in the midst of one moment of thought, immutability and changing with conditions, nature and forms, and substance and function all fundamentally belong to one time. Abandoning identity, abandoning different, this is the identity of difference and identity. Therefore, the great masters of the Zen sect, relying on Dharma and abandoning words, just directly point at one thought in order that one may see nature and become Buddha. It is in this way that doctrinal principles are put aside. Susan, 1520 to 1604. If one were to take these maxims as one's stern teacher, study thoroughly, and attain their true meaning, then there in each sentence would be a living Buddha. In this excerpt, some of the maxims do seem like quite a stern teacher, at times abstruse and challenging to understand. Since we know there were many teachings given over the Buddha's lifetime addressing the many different capabilities of his listeners, perhaps some of the above was directed to those other students. Spiritual practice is filled with paradox and irony. We operate in the changing with conditions reality, attempting to become one with immutability. We use limited language and limited sense organs and try to push our way through them to freedom. All the while, finding what seems like an undeniable ideal of practice can become its opposite. And all the while, creating karma in our wake. Hence, the maxim, great effort, no goal. In practice, and the realization that our efforts are best offered with a sense of controlled folly. Take what you can apply and do your best. Onward up the mountain, Ilana, scribe for Daily Zen. Recording and audio production by a longtime friend of Daily Zen. Music by Ashat Danielyan at Pixabay.com. To learn about Daily Zen, read journals and quotes, donate, or see the artistry of Daily Zen, please visit dailyzen.com. Thank you for listening, and may your way be clear.